Yep, there we go.
All right. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll begin. Will, would you like to lead us, please, brother, if you would?
Dear Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for giving us help and strength to come out and serve our liberty to come out into your house today, Lord. We offer a number, Lord, and bless each name of this covered, Lord. Each name of your house is represented, Lord. Bless us and keep us, Lord. May we do everything as you sit on my side today, Lord. And Lord, we learn more about thee, Lord, and learn more about thy ways, Lord. The wash when he expound, Lord, and he's a servant today, Lord. We have all the people that are going through the churches, the safe church, the minister, where it is preaching the counsel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've got the Father, the churches today, Lord. Use him to and the Spirit, Lord, to convict people that are lost, Lord, and even those that are saved, that you know, to bring them closer to the Lord, and bring us and keep us, Lord. And Lord, pray for missionaries, Lord, with the recent National Open Doors Christian Institute, Kids for Schools, Lord, and the children we support, Lord, even the children we don't support, bless them also, Lord, and give them strength, Lord, give them salvation also, Lord. Remember George, Isaiah, Matthias, and Easter, Lord, bless them and keep them, Lord, and save their souls away from their family, Lord. Remember also the persecuted church throughout the world, Lord, and Lord, bless them and keep them, those that are persecuted for the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, pray for them also, Lord. Give them the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, but also give them their needs, Lord, that they need to survive, overcome, and win, Lord, and I create them in the holy name. For us this day, Lord, with the singing of the hymns, Lord, and Lord, and the sermon today, Lord, pray in peace and insight, and bless us and keep us, and bless us for Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Amen. All right. We're going to begin with hymn number 448 this morning. 448 is Brethren, We Have Met to Worship.
And adore the Lord our God. Will you
we have joined together to sing songs. Amen. Hymn number 13, I think it is, in the Little Black Books. Hymn number 13, if you'd like to take and turn there. We'll just remain seated as we sing, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." Put your hymn books away and take your Bibles out to follow along with Norman. See, comes reading for us.
This morning's reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, our avenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything, but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in the saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. Love worketh no ills to his neighbour, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armour of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make that provision for the flesh to fulfil the lust thereof. Amen.
Means you get all the church calls that come in on it, which is precisely none at the moment. Amen. We're in the little pink prayer lists today. I would ask that you would give them a moment or two of your time, if you would. And please do call out the names of all of those people that are mentioned on it. You might not know the names or the reasons, but the Lord does. Private prayer requests the same. Just want for you all to remember as well that Christmas is basically a month and 3 days away. I think it is Friday 4 weeks. That would be right, wouldn't it? Friday 4 weeks. I have a little question for you. Do we want to meet up on Christmas morning for an hour of a service? My Christmas present to you would be a short service and a few Christmassy hymns and just a wee bit of fellowship. But think about it and let me know. We have plenty of time and we're very flexible. It'll not kill us to meet, and it'll certainly not kill us not to meet. We would be more than happy to just meet up with everybody on Christmas morning. Lord willing, of course, but please do remember that. But also ask that you would pray for our country as they move into another 2 weeks of lockdown at the end of this coming week. I was reminded a little bit of, at the risk of introducing American politics into the service, which I'm not a great fan of, but they said that one of Mr. Biden's calls was that he would be able to fix America in these next 3 years, and somebody said, well, why couldn't you have done that in the past 45 or 47 years that he has actually been in office? My thinking is a little bit the same. What is 2 weeks after, goodness, how long is it? 10 months on and off of shutdowns and lockdowns, and then everybody get out there and be friends. I just pray for our leaders and our country and each one of us that we make right decisions and behave ourselves appropriately, and pray for our leaders in America. There's a lot of things going on over there at the moment, and of course the leaders in all of the other countries that are in the world. They certainly, as Norman was reading in Romans 13, they don't bear the staff of leadership in vain. They're supposed to be a terror to evil, but whenever the leaders are evil, what sort of shape does the country be in? There was a fellow many, many years ago called Edmund Burke. Anybody ring a bell with anybody? He said these words. He had many good quotes, but the one that always sticks with me is that all that it takes for evil to flourish is for good men to do nothing. And of all the people that walk on this earth, God's people are supposed to be good people. So if you can speak, speak. If you can give, give. If you can pray, pray. If you can go, go, but just do what you can. And whenever you are, remember the names that are on that little pink slip. In America, the pink slip means the ownership of a car. Here, it means the ownership of your responsibility to mention those names in heaven. And to that end, I would also just want to remind you of Norman. Norman, who looks after his mom and dad, that's Noel and Joan at the end of the street there. He lost his dad there middle of last week. Actually, it was Tuesday of last week. So please do pray for him and his family at this time, especially at this time, whenever they just won't have a chance to mourn properly, to say goodbye, even to see his dad lying in state in his coffin. So please do pray for Norman and the rest of his family at this time. And of course, all the folks that are on the road, their names are mentioned in there as well. For Maslam and Georgina, for Pearl. Pearl loves the services. She especially likes listening to Christie's series on Acts, so we're keen to keep that going for as long as possible. Please do pray for Christie as he brings us the messages on Thursday. What am I talking about Thursday? Would you bring a message on Thursday? on Sunday evenings? I don't know what had Thursday in my head there. But we really do appreciate them. And I want to, every time I cast my mind back nearly a year, I want to let you know I love doing the Sunday morning services. I wish I could do the Sunday evening services. And I love doing the Wednesdays. I have been asked about Friday evenings by a number of people, but whenever everybody turns up for Sunday mornings, then we'll consider doing Friday evenings as well. I still get very tired very quickly. And we were moving a little bit of furniture and doing a bit of decorating in the smallest room in our house. And that left me done out for Friday and Thursday and Saturday evening. So please do continue to pray for me. I really do need to shake this shoulder problem and get back on the form again. So I really appreciate your patience. And I would appreciate your prayers for that as well. Don't forget, Will did a good job of mentioning all of our missionary outreaches, Francis Cosgrave, Kids for Schools Christian Institute, and all of the others. Don't forget Brother Stan up in Bangor and Karen. There's three Stuarts up there and their associated families, which is very unusual. But don't forget Stan and Karen and Jade especially, and Mark, Jeremiah, Samuel, and Faith too. We live in interesting times. Who would have thought a year ago that we would be doing this Christmas? In case anybody's wondering what it's like, who said Christmas was cancelled? Will was saying, we were talking about Christmas and he said it might be cancelled this year. It's really not as bad as it sounds. We cancelled it last year and we're still here. So, anyway, on a more serious note, please do remember the names on here. I think Frank will be coming. Is Frank coming home in the next week or so? Or is he?
The 8th of December, only 22.
Oh, right. So I thought they were chasing all of the students were being sent home early.
At the moment, they haven't decided yet. And the parents have been waiting for that.
Okay.
And he might phone on the hospital to see if he could change his appointment because of the further lockdown.
Yeah. So, praying for Frank then too. Amen. Do continue to pray for Leonard. Obviously, our prayers are working in the Milesium. It's not the Milesium Forum. Milesium Rest Home down in Macrofelt. He is still soldiering on. Please do pray for Esther. She's still soldiering on. And please do pray for Pat and Steve. Steve's legs are still giving him a lot of bother. So please do bear him up in prayer. And of course, we miss Carol and John this morning. And Lord willing, we'll have them all, including Christine, tonight. I really think that's about that. Does anybody have a private prayer request that they'd like to add or remove? Okay, that's grand. Pat and Steve send their regards. Please do bear them up in prayer. And if you get an opportunity during the week, give Steve a ring. doesn't have to be every day of the week, but give him a wee ring, because I think he's not able to walk very well. He's having a lot of angina problems, and I think he enjoys just talking to the brethren. If you get a chance, drop him a line. If you don't have his number, drop me a line and I'll get you the number, and he'd be glad to hear from you. I think that's about that. Is there anything else we may have missed? Nope. Okay. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads and we'll pray for a minute. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for life and health and strength. Lord, for all of the names that were mentioned. Pray you too for Alan Leslie and for Sally and for Kate. I pray you, Lord, for each one of us here this morning. For your good hand upon us, Lord, for strength and for wisdom. Lord, for your mind to be our mind. And I mean that in the right way, just in case that sounded wrong. Bless each one of us, Lord, and open our understanding of the scriptures. And Lord, let us use this time to draw closer to you, to make decisions to draw closer to you, to choose to draw closer to you, to just enjoy the fellowship, the praising, the time in prayer. Lord, all of the other requests and things that we have in our hearts and minds that we can just flip through in a fraction of a second. We know, Lord, that no matter how fast we are at skipping through prayer requests, I am sure this world moves in slow motion for you. Please, Lord, walk up and down the hall here this morning. And Lord, just give us what we need. And not just us, Lord, but we know you can do that in every single church in the world, for every single believer in the world. And Lord, for those that don't yet know you, I think especially of our loved ones, of our countrymen, our townsmen and our countrymen, Lord, and for people all over the world, I pray you, Father, please, a great conviction upon hearts and minds, especially, Lord, as they consider all of the things that this, not the plague has taken away, but our treatment of the plague and our reaction to it has taken away. But for all that the world, the flesh and the devil has taken away, we know that they can't take you away. Anyway, Lord, we just love you and thank you. Pray your good hand upon us. For Brother Stan and Brother Bissett, for Brother Asquith and Brother Hayne, for Brother Seeley. Lord, for Brother Fox, for Brother Isaacson, for the Randalls, for the Kennedys and the Snowds and the Smiths. Lord, for all of the men that stand for you, Lord, I pray, Lord, that your hand would weigh heavy upon them, upon us, Lord, that you would remind us constantly of the great responsibility that each one of us has to be a good preacher of the gospel. Please save souls. Please edify the saints, Father. Please cleanse us and refresh us. And we just thank you for all your helps and patience and long-suffering. Most of all, your love for us, Lord, and your forgiveness for us. Thank you for your Son. Thank you, Lord, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and for preserving your word. And we ask all these things, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's take those hymn books again. We're going into the little black ones this time. And we are going to sing, if I can just find it, I Am His and He Is Mine, number 25. Number 25, I Am His and He Is Mine.
I am his and he is mine. I am the love.
Going to stand for our penultimate hymn, hymn number 132, Never Alone. 132 in the big fat hymn books, because the other ones only go as high as 40, I think. Never Alone.
Promise never to leave me. my Savior helps me to carry my cross when heavy to bear. My feet entangled with briars, ready to cast me down. My Savior whispered his promise, never to leave me alone. No, no, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave. For me he opened the fountain, the crimson cleansing tide. For me he waited in glory, seated upon his throne. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No,
seated. Thank you very much. Slight technical difficulty there, but, and as soon as it happened, I remember my wife saying, always put in 8 verses for that song, not 4, because it doesn't play a chorus, or it's only in for 2 verses. But anyway, we are in Psalm 37 this morning. If you would like to take your Bibles and turn there, Psalm 37. I know I get a bit of a ribbing about Psalm 37, verse 37, where it talks about Mark the perfect man. I'm not even going to go near that verse today. We're going to begin reading at verse number 1, and we're going to read the first 20. And I want to speak on the subject of you can't take it away, or you can't have it, one or the other. Psalm 37 and verse number 1 begins with, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent the bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be for ever. They shall not be ashamed in that evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume away into smoke. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. That is our Bible reading for this morning. Verse number 9 is going to be our text. And I want to speak on the subject of you can't take it away or you just can't have it. Amen. Christy, would you pray for us, brother, please, if you would.
Strength, Lord, for salvation most of all, Lord, for the words that were just read in support of your word. We thank you in advance for the message we're about to hear. And ask and pray your touch, Lord, and just your guidance upon the preacher at this time. Lord, just touch each one that's here. Speak to hearts and minds, Lord. Just meet needs, we pray. Remember those that couldn't be with us as well. Lord, we pray for a touch and a time of ministering to their needs today, Lord, from you. Lord, for the ones that would listen as well, Lord, if you would just please save the lost, Lord, and Lord, just encourage, Lord, to save there as well, please. With our sister churches, remember missionaries, Lord, we pray for their needs today. Lord, watch over them and provide for them too. Lord, be with our country's leaders. Give sense, Lord, and wisdom and understanding, Lord, please. And help them, Lord, always to consider the needs of the people they're charged with as well. Lord, be with Israel. Protect her, Lord. Just continue to be a witness through her to the world, Lord. Lord, use us this time too to see souls saved, Lord, to be a light in this city. Please continue to work with us and bless this time in Jesus' name.
Amen. Just one other name that was on my mind there, even before Christy started praying. Please do pray for Taylor Roth and her mom and dad as well. They need to be saved. I think Taylor's still for coming over, is she, at Christmas time? So please do pray for her, if you would, for her work and for her travels and for next year. Because depending on who's in government, there might not be any travel to the States. I'm not trying to put a fear on you. But anyway, please do remember that. Man, verse number 18 and 19 is going to be our text. The word of God says, "The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied." For some strange reason, if there's two or three psalms that I could really put my hand on and say they mean a lot to me, it's not because they're any better than any of the other psalms. It's just that I've spent longer studying them and memorizing them. And maybe that's an object lesson there, that I should spend longer studying and memorizing more of the Bible. But we're going to look at that, and we're speaking on the subject of you can't take it away or you can't have it. And we're going to think about these two verses that we just read, but I want to have a recap over the first few verses as well, because it's very easy for me to stand up here, and let's be honest, we are somewhat sheltered from all of the devilment that is going on in the world. And whenever I'm out here in Campsie, even from all of the hustle and bustle, or even the lack of it, that goes on in and around our homes, you need to take things in context. The verses that you study, the verses that you memorize, must be taken in context. In other words, they stand or fall depending on the other verses around them that prop them up. So I want to have a few verses, a look at a few verses of Psalm 37 on the run-up to these verses. And the first thing that I want for us to realize is that three times in 8 verses, the Lord says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." And after he says that, he says, And don't you be encouraged by their seeming success to go and do it yourself. Don't be behaving like everybody else or be using everybody else's bad behavior as a reason for you to behave badly too. I'm sure we have all heard of the old adage whenever a child comes in and says, "Their mummy, 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 can I stay out till 10 or 11 o'clock tonight?" He said, "Why? Your bedtime's at 9 o'clock and it's going to be dark, but little Tommy down the street, he's allowed to stay out till 10 or 11 o'clock at night." And then your mummy or daddy would always say, "Well, if little Tommy put his hand in the fire, would you do it too?" But it pretty much amounts to the same thing. God is warning us. First of all, that there are evil people out there. Second of all, that they will do evil things. And that is a common theme throughout all of this portion of God's word. But we are not supposed to behave like them. Because let's be honest, if God came down and took everybody to heaven that was behaving like a Christian, there would be a lot fewer people going up in the rapture than would be if God took the saved people up. Does that make sense? A lot of saved people don't behave like Christian people. And it reminds us that for all of the devilment, for all of the things that these souls do, even thinking that they're getting away with it, that there are consequences for behavior. For bad behavior. There are rewards, certainly, for good behavior, but there are dire consequences for evil behavior. The Bible says they'll be cut off. Well, that means they'll be separated from the people and ejected from the people, or whether it means they will be cut off, as in their heads cut off, as in killed by God. God says they are going to be judged. They're going to be found wanting, and then judgment, or the consequences of their behavior, will be executed upon. But in between there, in between all those warnings, it says to you and I, the saved of God, keep your eyes upon him. One of my favorite verses, let me put it another way. One of my most influential verses, it certainly wasn't a favorite because it doesn't sit very well with us, is in Romans, it's in Romans, I think I've forgotten the reference just off the top of my head, but it says, "Dearly beloved, give place to wrath, for vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." It talks about, we just want to get people back. It's just in us. It's base human nature. If someone hurts you, you want to hurt them back. God says, give me a chance, let me sort it out, and no one will be able to point a finger back at you. Because if you're busy holding someone by the scruff of the neck and beating the tar out of them, beating them black and blue, and that bolt of lightning comes down from heaven, or as Pat and Steve's grandkids say, God's big foot comes down from heaven and steps on that person, it's going to step on you too, because you're going to be standing too close to them. Treat people like that, like a downed power line. Do you know what they say about downed power lines? Stay far away, because in damp ground, the electricity from a downed power line can actually hit you 10, 15 or 20 feet away. People, lost people, are going to behave badly. God says, please don't. I've preserved a book for the whole history of mankind. My laws have always been available to man. They're there to save your lives. But even with that, the Bible says bad people are going to wheel and deal. They're going to try and do their best, thinking that they can get one over on God. But God just laughs at them. And it's not a It's not a laugh as in a shared joke laugh, and it's not a laugh as in a fondly recalled memory. I would say it's a bitter laugh, because God doesn't want anybody to perish or anybody to die in their sins and go to hell. He says that. I take no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, so turn yourselves and live ye. God says that he will take all of their plans and turn them upon themselves. It says in verse 15 that their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bows shall be broken. Don't be worrying. Be content where God has called you, where God has put you, with what God has enabled you to do. One of my much remembered verses, and was a great help to me whenever I started questioning about the national lottery. But surely, Lord, there's no harm in the national lottery. 10% of it goes to charity and good causes? And he said, he showed me this verse not long afterwards, the little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. And you only would have to look at the lives of many people that have won lots of money, like millions and tens of millions of pounds afterwards, to know that there's not very many of them have had their lives made better for all of that money. Those many wicked that they took the money off soon come knocking on the door looking for their money or a portion of it back again. But anyway, over and over again, the Lord says he'll be there. He will be there for his people. There is a justice to be had, and God will make sure it happens. Maybe not in our time frame. Maybe quicker than we expect, but more often than not, when we get the things, if we were to pray for everything, if I just bowed my head and closed my eyes right now, and I prayed for a nice fancy red Ferrari outside instead of the burgundy Skoda, and you heard a clash or a crash and one was lifted away and the other one turned up, and then I prayed for a full church and we all opened our eyes after prayer and the seats were bound to the two gills, and we prayed for everyone to be faithful tithers and the money was stacked up to there, and we prayed for the church building to be twice as big and made of brick, and before we'd even finished the service we got a quick draft of cold air as the walls disappeared, and before the roof could fall bricks rose up out of the ground, and that happened just like that. It certainly would get a lot of people interested, but it would make us very petty and impatient Christians, because sometimes God says, just hold on a wee minute, just wait. And there's no better example than that than in the book of Revelations chapter 6, when the seals were being opened, and the Bible speaks about the souls of all of those that were beheaded for the cause of Christ under his throne, crying out, how long, O Lord, holy and true, wilt thou not avenge us upon the people in the earth? And God said, just give it a little while. It'll happen in my time, but it will happen. In case you're probably another one just as we speak, is in 2 Peter chapter 3, where the Lord said to Peter, write this down, he says, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. In other words, if God says something is going to happen, it is going to happen. Whether it's in one day, or whether it's in 1,000 years, it will happen. There is a payback. There is a vengeance. There is a punishment for those that reject Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, there is also a blessing and a help and a provision and a comfort and all of that for those that love him. The scripture verses we were looking at this morning have a promise. Those that love the Lord shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. And whenever all of our lockdowns kicked off, and the church actually did close for a couple of months, and we would come down and preach to an empty church, and record the message and get them onto the internet and one thing and another, one of the thoughts that occurred to my mind was that when people have all of the things that they lean upon taken away, maybe they will realize the things that are really important. Maybe they will realize that it is, we don't have a relationship with God, and when our freedoms are taken away, whenever our pubs close, whenever we're not allowed to go out and visit friends and spend nights with strangers, our lives are empty. Maybe they would actually ask a question. Why does my life seem so empty? I want for you to know, Christian, that of all the things that you ever do for Christ, they're never forgotten. You're never forgotten, and the deeds that you do are never forgotten. The Bible says that God keeps you in the palm of his hand. It talks about all of your works being written down and in the books in Revelation chapter 20. But it also talks about an evil time. And it is only in difficult times, evil times if you like, that Christian character really shines out. Because it would be easy just to go along with the mob. It would be easy just to do drugs and smoke and drink and curse and swear and sleep around the country and to blaspheme the name of the Lord. So that you don't get picked on. So you don't get singled out. So that you have a bit of company. But we live in evil times. Very evil times. And it talks about God's people not being ashamed. When you keep your eyes on the Lord, you will live to the highest standards. Right now, and I can tell you what, there's only going to be two standards of eternal life. One is in heaven with God Almighty in a new and a glorified body that will never get old or tired or have another ache or pain or broken heart ever again. And see the Jesus that gave his life on the cross for you and walk and even talk with the angels and all of the saved that have gone on before you. That's the first life. That's the first standard of eternal life. The second one doesn't even come close because it talks about being in a place of torment. No robes of righteousness to cover people's nakedness. It talks of a place where people regret every single time they said no to Jesus. It talks of a place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched forever. A place where people grind their teeth and gnaw their tongues and cry out in pain. And that's just, I think that's hell. And then there's the lake of fire and the great white throne of judgment. There is a higher standard of eternity to be had, but it is only to be yours or mine or anybody else's when they choose Christ as their Savior. And he has a few things that he would like for us to do. He wants for us to keep that thing which he has given to us spotless. That eternal life that starts as soon as you get saved, he wants for us to look after that. And even when the rules of law in the land change and make God's people do, in quotes, illegal things, in other words, we're still living the lives we always lived, but now, instead of saying, oh, the LGBT movement, they're all good lads and they're good for the country, abortion is wonderful and it's just what the people need. When the Christian stands up and says, excuse me, those are the evil times we live in. And Isaiah 5, it said, what? Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. We live in these times. We are in biblical prophecy even as we speak. Making a rotten, wicked, destructive practice or behavior legal doesn't make it right. Because if that's the way you want to go, why don't we just carry guns and shoot the people that annoy us? And just make it like the Wild West. And just make it the way it really is instead of having this veneer of respectability. It's okay to kill people now. You know, those people that can't fight back and those people that are the weakest, it's okay to kill them. I'm not talking about any country in particular, but the world in general. Whenever people get elderly and they become too much of a burden, we can kill them. Whenever children become an inconvenience, we can kill them. Even up until the point that they're born, they'll be left on the shelf to die. And when Christians say, hold on a wee second, hold on a wee second. When we have to say that about normal everyday events, we live in evil times. And it doesn't matter what these sociologists say. And it doesn't matter what these professors say. The human creature, the human being, can't take that for very long before it affects us and not in a good way. People that consider euthanasia for their parents ought to be glad that their parents never considered abortion for them. But the Christian has a solid foundation that never changes. The Christian has that Jesus Christ that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And at the risk of quoting one of the simpler parables, the man that builds his house upon that rock, regardless of the storms that come hammering upon it, it will never move. But the man that builds his house on the shifting sands of the world that we call home today, as soon as the storms of life beat upon that and the floods rise, it will fall and fall spectacularly. Great would be the fall of it. We need that foundation. Because otherwise, trying to keep up, I can't even keep up with the rules of COVID. For by the rules of fashion, this suit, I think, is about 20 years old. Thanks to nearly dying last year, it fits again. And I don't know about you, I'm not saying I'm highly fashionable, but it doesn't look too bad, it's a suit. I have 5 other ones. I am that guy that never has to choose which colour of suit, he just picks a grey one off the rack. That never changes because it makes it easy for me. Wouldn't it be great if the world just stuck with one set of rules? But they go about, sadly, removing, undermining, opposing and rejecting all of the things that God gave to us, His Word, that keeps men free and safe. Our freedoms, we mentioned earlier on, Our ability just even to go to the shop and to buy a loaf of bread. I may have mentioned it in the pulpit once or twice. I remember looking at footage from Russia when I was a child and people were queuing outside of bread shops for a loaf of bread. And guess what? We have longer queues because people socially distance or pint of milk. We live in those days and we think we're so free. Goodness, friends. We are going to end up with people like Stalin and Mussolini and Hitler telling us what we can and can't do, what we can and can't wear, where we can and can't go, and even what we can and can't think. I came across an article on YouTube a while back about two policemen that called another policeman's house and said, we're here to check your thinking, because of a tweet that he had made about the LGBT movement. We're here to check your thinking. You wouldn't have thought that 20 years ago, that this would be the world that we lived in. I remember joining the church and reading, I think it was The Sword of the Lord, a publication that took news articles from around the world and put them all into a page. And they were the most interesting. I thought, that'll never happen in England. That'll never happen in Northern Ireland. Guess what? The rules have changed and we're here. And the thing about it is, whenever you pull the rug out from... Have you ever seen on... what do you call that TV show where people send in their video clips? You've Been Framed. Have you ever seen some of the people fall? Have you? My back hurts just watching them. But have you ever seen them trying to grab something as they go? The person getting out of the boat and stops for a moment, and in that moment, you know for a fact they're going to go into the water. And they're grabbing and they're trying to shift their weight, and all the time their legs go farther and farther apart until they plant themselves in the water. That's what we do as well. People are desperately looking for something to hold on to keep them above the water. For those souls that don't have Jesus Christ, there is no hope. They'll just be swept along. For a soul with Jesus Christ, that rock is always there. Always there. He will keep you. He will save you now. And in eternity. That's God's promise. Whenever you're in plenty, or whenever you're in want, or this is going to sound like the wedding vows, and for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, in joy and pain, when you're on top of the world or in the valleys beneath, whenever you, oh goodness, whenever you're strong, whenever you're weak, when you're having a good day, and whenever you're having a bad day, Jesus holds you in the palm of his hand. He's not depending upon you to hold on to him. He is holding on to you. Do you ever see wee babies, whenever you lift them up or when they hold on to your finger, all you have to do is lift your hand and that wee hand will just slip off because it's not very strong. That's us compared to God. Whenever we lift a baby, we do the holding. Whenever we cradle a baby, we do the cradling. And that's the way it is with God and us. Imagine what it is like not to have God. Imagine what it is like when the world strips everything away and you're standing there and you have nothing, even your heart is empty. And now remember what God has done for you. Regardless of what the world will do to you, they can't take you from Jesus, and they can't take Jesus from you. Our provision and our comfort and strength and our protection and our purpose and power and even our wisdom and all of the promises that are in the Bible are only to be found standing on the rock or walking the straight and the narrow road. Just like Adam and Eve did, walking and talking with God in the cool of the evening. That's the only thing that's going to keep your head screwed on. Now the thing about it is, whenever you choose this path, and it is a choice, it's not a feeling, because let's be honest, friends, there's sometimes I don't feel like coming out to church, and I'm the guy that stands at the front, leads the service. I'm the guy that doesn't have to talk, but gets to talk for 45 minutes. Believe it or not, there's a part of me doesn't want to be doing this. There's a part of me who just wants to go home and watch TV or go for a walk up and down the road. But the bigger part of me, the part that's going to spend eternity in heaven, knows that for my sake and for your sake and for the fellowship and the praise and the prayer and everything that we have together, and even though there are only a handful of us, we need to be here. And we need to take this time out. Now the thing about it is, when you choose this path, there's going to be a lot of people that you part company with. It's a sad thing, but it is what it is. Nobody asks me to go drinking or carrying on anymore. And to be quite honest with you, there was a time whenever the fact that you don't get asked hurts. But it just saves me having to do a bit of preaching and tell them why it is again that I am not going drinking or whoring or doing drugs or giving someone a hiding. It's because I love the Lord and I want to do things his way. Even when the government allows me to become a murderer and not go to jail with abortion or euthanasia, I am thankful that I have the Lord and that He is me. And that my rules will preserve that precious life, whether it's very young or very old, until the time that the Lord says for that person to go. When the world, the flesh and the devil does its very, very best to strip away everything that people in the world love, the Christian finds Christ still there. I was reminded of an account of a little fellow with a heart defect. And he had to go in for surgery, and the surgeon was speaking to him and trying to explain things to him. And he said, "I'm going to have to cut into your chest, and you know what I am going to, do you know what I am going to find whenever I go in there?" He says, "You're going to find Jesus in there." He says, I'm going to find the damaged heart." He said, "No, you're going to find Jesus in there." He was that convinced that Jesus lived in his physical heart, that when the surgeon was going to cut into that wee chest, that he would find his Saviour living there. That's what the Christian will find. And you know what? Sometimes we need those things taken away from us so that we can understand, maybe for the first time in our lives, that Jesus Christ is the only thing that this world, that neither time nor person, not even the devils of hell themselves, can take away from us. They can't take it. And the words in 1 Timothy of Paul to Timothy said, "I want to bring to your remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of your hands." Not only can the world not take it, but they're not going to have it. We need to hold on to it, and we need to fire it up. Now, the Lord promised us that He is the author and finisher of our faith. He saved us. He gave us a narrow pathway to walk this life upon. And He will comfort and strengthen us along the way and encourage us. He'll keep us right when we go on, and He will give us the most noble, the greatest of purposes, the one that He chose for Himself when He walked on this earth, the seeking and saving of men's souls. And as long as there's someone else in the world, it's not like one of these apocalypse movies, The Last Man on Earth. As long as there's somebody else in this world, friends, there's a ministry for you and I, even if it's from afar, to bring that soul's name up to God in heaven by the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, which was granted us by the Son of God, given His life on the cross, because our Father in heaven loved us so much. But remember, as long as you, Christian, as long as you saved soul are alive in this world, nobody can take you away from God, and nobody can take God from you. I know there are a lot of distractions, and I know there are a lot of things and people and events that are calling out for our time and attention. Remember to take time to cultivate that relationship. I know there are many instances of people that have let friendships go by the wayside, and it can be very difficult to rekindle those. Sometimes it's a matter of spending an afternoon or a day or a couple of days catching up. Sometimes they can never be rekindled again. We shouldn't let our relationship with God go like that. Yes, it's there. But it could go to a very, very formal, like, "Good afternoon, my name is Mark, and I know that you're God, but I just want to apologize for not having spent very much time in your presence." It can go from something like that to, "Hi, Dad, it's me again. I'm just back to touch base with you. I have got a bunch of stuff to tell you that I have been doing and the amazing things that have been going on in my life. And I want to thank you for all of the things that you've done for me." There's a difference. One is a friend, and the other one is an acquaintance. We ought to be friends, to make friends with that friend that sticketh close to my brother. And find a reason to spend time in his presence, and to lean, in the words of the song, on his everlasting arms. To turn up at his door. Doesn't it say in Matthew 11, and you will find rest unto your souls? Bright hope for tomorrow, strength, wisdom. Something else too. You'll never be out of a job as long as there's somebody else in the world. You'll always have something to do. Always a reason to spend time in God's presence. There's nothing and nobody can take that away from you. So think on that and remember the man that gave his life on the cross of Calvary for you. Amen. We're stopping there. We're going to take our hymn books and sing our closing hymn, if I can just remember what it is. Yep, I did. Hymn number 149. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing. Trusting Jesus. Hymn number 149.
Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all, trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him.
Thank you again for your good time and attention. Hope you have a good afternoon. Look forward to seeing you back at the next appointed time. Please do pray for those that will be joining us and couldn't join us. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, again for watching over us and for preserving this little bit of time in your presence. Please, Lord, just be with us as we go. Know, Lord, that we hear a lot in church, but the lessons are learned out there in the world. And I pray you, Lord, that you would keep us safe as we learn. Help us to grow and to learn more of you and to walk and talk with you daily. And Lord, who knows, maybe some soul that's cast adrift in this world will see us stand on the rock and call out for help. Give us all the words to say. We love you and thank you. Be with our brethren wherever they are. Bless the preaching of the full counsel of your word, Lord, wherever it takes place. Just love you and thank you, and please see us safely home. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. tiptoes, elbows, and whatever else.